Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that is the opening theme for the show that keeps sweeping the country each and every week. It's the Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini, in Los Angeles, where it's looked like Seattle last month with the rain coming through here. My sidekick, the straw that stirs the drink, when God created women, the world was complete. Danielle Orsino, she's in Charlotte, North Carolina. 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, we realize 30 minutes goes by quick. Archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in place, hand off the mic, Danielle, the threes, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And there's a lot to talk about on the franchise tags.
Oh, there's so much to talk about, Mark. I'm doing great. Everybody can reach me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. And actually next week, March 15th through the 17th, I will be in Richmond, Virginia at GalaxyCon with the pop-up bookshop. So if anybody's in the area and they want to stop by and talk about, you know, free agent frenzy, because that starts next week, please stop by. I would love to chat about it. But let's jump into it, because the deadline for tagging your favorite player with the franchise tag was actually 4 p.m. yesterday. So let's get into who is a free agent and who has been tagged. So Jaguars tagged Josh Allen, so good for them. The Bears tagged Jalen Johnson, nice move. The Patriots tagged Kyle Duggar. The Buccaneers tagged Antoine Winfield Jr. Ravens tagged Justin, I'm going to screw this name up, Madubuike, well, you know who he is, defense guy. Panthers, Brian Burns. Bengals, this was a big discussion. They did tag T. Higgins. It went back and forth. Were they going to tag him? Were they not? Yes, they did tag him. The Chiefs did tag L'Jarius Sneed. That was another one. Were they going to do it? Were they not? Here's who did not get tagged. Let's get into it. Every single running back did not get tagged. From Saquon Barkley, Tony Pollard, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Austin Eckler, none of them were tagged, not one running back. Rumor is, no team wanted to set the bar for running backs, so nobody did it. Now, could something still come through? Possibly, but basically the rumor was nobody wanted to, because right now the running back franchise tag is $11.951 million, so basically $12 million. Let's just leave it at that. That is what the 2024 NFL franchise tag is, and that's the value for each position. Nobody wanted to set the bar on a running back, because it is still kind of up in the air on what is the worth of a running back. So the Giants basically told Saquon, go test the market. What I am hearing is his days are done in New York. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry, Giants fans, I'm crying too. And there is some resentment in the locker room toward management. Most of the players are now being more vocal and saying, you should have paid him last year and tagged Jones. That's what how the players feel. And some of them are coming right out and saying it. Like, it's no more hush-hush. So whereas last year people were kind of like whispering in the locker room, like, hey, that wasn't a smart move. Now they're being vocal about it, and they're like, we did not agree with this. We kind of told you who to tag and who to pay. And the consensus was pay Saquon and just tag Jones. And now everybody's like, kind of told you so, dude. Like, that's what we told you. And the Giants are sitting there with egg on their face. But as much as Saquon wanted to be a Giant for life, it doesn't look that way, because the Texans are really sniffing around him. And the rumor is, and once again, guys, this is just a rumor I just heard. I cannot say who exactly. It's just kind of what's in the air. The Texans will possibly be offering $20 million for 2 years. Now, I know that's below the franchise tag, but that's what you're going to give him, and that's like a solid offer versus the Giants just going, hey, we'll franchise tag you again, and we could be in the same position next year. but somebody else is going to go, you won't be in that position. Here's your $20 million. He'll take it. The Ravens are the next team that are looking at him, but the Ravens are leaning more toward Derrick Henry for their scheme and what will fit. But those are the two teams sniffing around Saquon, and the Texans could be making an offer very, very soon to get the deal done. So that's kind of what I'm hearing right now. As for the other guys, I'm not 100% sure where Eckler's going, where Josh Jacobs is going. I've heard Jacobs possibly to the Patriots. That could be a possible landing spot for him, but that's not a done deal. So that's kind of where it stands right now. And as we know, Russell Wilson was let go officially from the Broncos, and that the Steelers are looking like the possible favorite over the Falcons. The Falcons, Justin Fields is still looking like that could be his landing spot, and Wilson to the Steelers. That's kind of where it's shaking out right now. But this is all before Monday, so take it with a grain of salt.
Well, you brought up some interesting points, and I will tell you, the Falcons are going to get Kirk Cousins. I think that's what they need. They need an upgrade, but they need an upgrade at quarterback. And he's an Atlanta guy who lives there in the off season. I've always liked Kirk Cousins when he was with the Redskins, then going to Minnesota. But Atlanta's going to open up the wallets, and they're going to give him – and this is going to be the biggest thing since probably Steve Barkowski. So I like that move. So I'm going to put my money on Cousins going to Atlanta. I think Russell Wilson's going to Pittsburgh. I really do. I think, the Broncos are going to take an $85 million hit on this, giving him the five-year deal. So the Steelers are going to pay him, probably much the minimum. So I think they're going to get him into Pittsburgh, and you're going to find a comeback player of the year with Russell Wilson. As far as Justin Fields goes, I don't know where he's going, because if I have a choice to either get Cousins and Wilson 1-2 in Atlanta and Pittsburgh, I'm not moving Fields on that barometer anywhere close to those two guys. I think these quarterbacks, they play in Chicago or go to Chicago, other than, maybe Jim McMahon and some of these other guys in the past, the recently have just gone to die there. And Mitch Trubisky was one. He resurrected his career a little in Pittsburgh. But, Justin Fields is young.
Trubisky was never
I just don't think he's – and you know what? I said this about Ohio State quarterbacks, and you know me, Danielle. These guys don't amount to much in the pros. C.J. Stroud had nothing but to go up in Houston because there was nothing there. We'll find out, where Fields is going. But I'm telling you, the big thing is Ertz going to the Commanders.
Yes.
That's
Ertz
the big thing there.
Deal.
I mean, yeah.
Yep, he signed a one-year deal worth $5 million to the Commanders. Yes, he did, which I think was a really smart move. I mean, I think
right.
He'll do well there. He's back in the NFC East. I think it's a good move. Overall, I think it was great for, I think the Commanders are making moves. You can't fault them for what they're doing. I'm confused on what they're going to do from the quarterback position, on who they're going to take. We've heard Drake Mayer. We've heard, Daniels back and forth on this. And it's interesting on what I'm hearing with Daniels versus Drake Mayer. And which way it's going to possibly go. I have not heard that they're willing to, trade up to get Caleb Williams. They're not going to make that move. But the back and forth on these two guys left is more who can take the weather. That's really what I'm hearing. And it's the same thing I'm hearing about the Patriots with the quarterbacks is who can deal with the Northeast weather, and that's kind of a sticking point on this. I don't think, and this is why I've been saying about Chicago, and I know you're not big on Justin Fields, and I get it. Do I think Fields has got something? I think he's definitely got more than Mitch Trubisky. I never understood that pick. I still to this day don't understand it. I have no idea why he went why he went number one. I don't get it. I never saw anything in him. I still don't. I never understood the hype. Justin Fields, I think, is 10 times better than Trubisky. But I still look at Fields and think, looking at, I get it, Caleb Williams is a generational talent. I hear all of it, and I look at him, and I go, okay, is he good? Yes, he's very good. But I'm looking more at, like, you have somebody like Marvin Harrison Jr. You got Malik. You got all these wide receivers that are so great. My thought is, take that first pick. And what if you took Marvin Harrison Jr. and you kept Fields, or like I said, you paid the money out for Kirk Cousins, put Fields on second, and took Marvin Harrison Jr. and made something right. happen that way, and made Fields, let him know, hey, look, I got Kirk Cousins right there. If you mess this up, I'm going to put him in, or let Fields study under Cousins and see if there's anything really there, because Cousins is coming off that Achilles. You know, you don't know how much is left in him as well, and took this wide receiver who is basically the best athlete in the combine in the draft and put him in there and give a weapon. You got him, you got DJ Moore, you got Montez Sweat. Like, you've done enough to build now, and then use some of the picks that you got down the line. You've got this OT, you know, class coming in, the best in decades, and build around that offensive line. And do something like that instead of taking Caleb. That's my
question. Here's the thing. Let me get the comment here. Dalen from Chelmsford always listens to the show. He said the Russell Wilson thing is interesting. Why would you give a guy that kind of money? The Broncos were all in, sending, you know, first round, second round, three players to get this guy, and it's been a bust. And part of the problem is, you know, sometimes in life, I've always said this. You know, Danielle, you know, the grass ain't always greener on the other side. If you got a kosher thing going, and he had a kosher thing going in Seattle, you know, just enjoy the scenery, pick up your money every year, and, you know, so what if you're going to face a little adversity? You go to Denver, you wanted to go there, and, you know, you're going to learn a new coach, a new system and everything. I don't know what happened in Denver. But, man, that's a lot of dead money to eat, if you ask me.
That's a lot of dead money. With Denver and Russell, that was never a good pairing, and we talked about that. And I said, this is not going to go the way they think it's going to go. And I've been very vocal about Russell Wilson. I've said this, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say this again. I don't think he's the quarterback everybody said. I think a lot of that had to do with Pete Carroll, and I don't think Carroll got enough credit. Love him or hate Pete Carroll for his coaching style, he knew what to do with Wilson's strengths and weaknesses, and he built the team around Wilson. And
right.
he made Wilson a better quarterback. Wilson has certain weaknesses that you can't make the guy taller, okay? You just can't. It is what it is. And he knew who to put around him. He went to Denver, and I think Wilson's head got a little big, and he forgot who made him who he was. He went to a bigger market, and I'm sorry, you're coming after Peyton, you're coming after some great quarterbacks, and I think he just thought he would be kind of lauded, like, you know, here I am, the coming of the second, and it's like, no, you went into the system, and the system wasn't built around you. And that was part of the problem. He also wanted to have a say in coaching. He wanted to be the diva. And it's not going to go that way. And if you remember, when he left, a lot of the old teammates came out against him. And that's a sign. When all, you know, you're supposed to be the leader. And when all the soldiers are going, thank God he's gone. That's telling you something.
Right.
I think Wilson's got a little, his head got a little too big. And when Peyton's saying what, you know, when Sean Payton's saying what he's saying, there's something in that, too, because that man's been a coach for a very long time. He was an offensive coordinator for a very long time. You got to listen. You kind of got to listen and read between the lines. I think Wilson wanted too much control. Peyton was not going to give it up. And Wilson wants the system to work the way he wants it instead of falling in line. And that there's something to that. I don't know if he's going to do well if the Steelers were to take him. I don't know how he's going to do well with Tomlinson. Like, that's That's old Smash Mouth football. The culture is there. I don't know how that's going to go. I think it might be time for Wilson to kind of wave goodbye and go off into the sunset. I don't know if the culture suits him anymore.
Right.
Where he goes. I think he wanted a bigger market than Seattle. And it's a problem.
Well, the thing is, Pittsburgh is a football town. You know, so I think he'll find out, he'll resurrect his career there. You know, that's where I'm taking it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, there's a coach in place in Pittsburgh, there's a foundation in place. I don't know if you can say that about Denver, because Denver really hasn't done nothing since Elway and Manning were there. So I don't know if you can kind of put that in the same, you know, equation.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you.
I just don't know if he will adapt. That's my thing. I don't know if he can adapt versus have it built around him. And I think that's what he wanted. He wanted everybody built
well, when
around
you,
him.
Well, the thing is, if you go to another city and you get cut, then it might be time to hang it up because then the handwriting's on the wall. But I think, you know, he's going to go in the fire in Pittsburgh because he's going to have to produce.
Okay.
When you look at what's going on in Pittsburgh now, Pickett is kind of like, you know, they had it, they're filled with him, and he's a local kid.
Yep.
And it stemmed from the locker room that one time where he didn't want to suit up, or he thought people were suiting up the game in Seattle. So he kind of took a stand, and, you know, they haven't, you know, some of these people have, you know, short memories. You know, you can do 10 good things, but that one thing will always stand out, the thing you didn't do or you want to do, and they'll remember that, and that'll be on the back burner, and it'll always come up in discussion. So I don't know what happened to Pickett there, but he's not going to be the starter if they bring in Russell Wilson. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, Wilson's not going to be. That's not even a question.
Yeah,
I think
they're bringing him in. He's 35 years old. And they're bringing him to get them over the hump. That's the bottom line there. They're finding out, you know, the experiment didn't work. But, you know, and you know what? This is what I was saying the other day to somebody, Danielle. The system works when you let a guy hold a clipboard for a year and learn the system like they're doing in Green Bay. And, you know, and I was critical of Green Bay, and I was critical of Love.
Yes.
You know, and you remember that. But the thing is, they've done it like – it should be done. Like the Elways and the Marinos, you learn the system, whether it's under a DeBerg or a David Woodley, and then you're ready to go when these guys go, you know, to another team or something. You've learned the system in and out, and Green Bay's done a good thing of that. All these other guys have been flashes in the pans, and that's the problem why it hasn't worked in San Francisco, Chicago, the Jets. And you know what? I'm starting to wonder if it's not working in Pittsburgh with the Steelers and Pickett. You know, this is the problem. They threw this guy in, you know, and he didn't learn the whole system. You should have studied the system, got a year under your belt. If I'm an owner of a team, how stupid can you not be to learn that if you're drafting these guys? I understand you're throwing a lot of money at them, but let them learn the system. You can't throw somebody, you know, a guy can't cook food if he's never cooked. I know you need a cook.
Mm-hmm.
I understand you need a cook. But it does nobody any good.
You need a sous chef, too.
You know, if you got a cook that doesn't know how to cook and he was thrown into the fire, you're going to, you know, sink or swim. But more likely than not, you're going to, you know, sink than you are swim. And we're starting to find that out in the NFL. And the problem is these owners – throwing a lot of money at these guys, and I'm for the players, but they're impatient to the fact as, you know, it's like a 15-minute car chase. We need to get our outcome. No, you don't. Let the guy learn the system. It's working in Green Bay. It worked in Miami with Marino. It worked in Denver with Elway. It works if you let it play its course, but they don't want to work. They're impatient. You know, it's like the guy waking up at, you know, 7:50, and he's got to be at work at 8 o'clock. You can't do everything in 10 minutes. And that's what these teams are doing, and that's what the problem is. So that's why you have problems in San Francisco. They've burned out the Trey Lances, the Justin Fields in Chicago, and you're seeing the Zach Wilsons in the Jets, and like I said, maybe Pickett's in the same thing. Any thought to all that?
I completely agree. I mean, look, the Giants did it with Eli. They brought in Kurt Warner specifically to get Eli ready. And Warner says, I knew. He's like, the writing was on the wall. He's like, I knew why I was there. I was there to be the bridge for Eli Manning. And he's like, and it was there for so Eli could learn. That's what you do. And I've said this for a long time. I mean, you look at RG3. RG3 was a great talent. And you look what Washington did. They wore that man to the ground, to the nub. There was nothing left of him because they threw him in. You know, that's when you bring in, at that time, when RG3 came in, you could have grabbed the Donovan McNabb, who was on his way out, and been like, wait a minute, and grabbed him for a season, even half a season, and gotten him ready and used him to bridge RG3. You know, somebody like that. Like, that, you need to do that. I think they're expecting way too much out of these rookies, way too much. And then they go, well, you didn't get it. Sorry. So sorry. You know, and they're thrown to the ground. Or in RG3 case, they feel the pressure to compete even when they're injured. And they wind up taking what should have been, you know, maybe a 6, 7, 8, 9 year career to a 2 year starter and then backup, journeyman, you're out. You know, we're doing it to them. So I think they need to start giving these guys a little bit more of an onboarding, I guess is the best way to put it. And I think that's what's kind of necessary for the QBs. That's just know, what I'm seeing at this point.
I think you're right. The Seahawks released Adams, Diggs, Disley. I mean, boy, I don't know what Seattle's doing unless they're going to a youth movement there. I mean, they're releasing guys. Kendricks was let go by the Chargers. Gosh, there's been some guys here that you kind of scratch your head and you're going, what's going on here?
There's a lot of, I mean, it seems like some of them are cleaning house just to make a point in some way.
Right.
I'm not 100% sure, or I don't know if they're doing it to really be competitive, and everybody's kind of starting to look around a little bit more. But, you know, look, the Jets told Zach Wilson asked for him it's okay if he could seek a trade, and they were like, yes, go ahead, little man, it's cool. You know, so places like that, I'm kind of like, that's not all right. I'm not surprised by that. You go find a trade there. Good job. Good job, kid. You know, moments like that, I'm not surprised at. But it seems like everybody's letting everybody go. I mean, I'm very surprised the Jaguars, a free agent, will be Calvin Ridley. I thought they were going to hold on to him because I personally thought he did well, thought he added to it. But he's another, you know, wide receiver that's going to be out there. When I saw the free agent list, I was very surprised to see, like, San Fran's letting Chase Young go. You know, there's certain people that I'm like, really, you're on this list? Okay, that's sure. All right, I'll see you on there. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's because this year's draft class is so chock full. I mean, look at what we've had in this draft class and just in the combine alone. We've had records broken, Xavier Worthy. I mean, 4.2. That wide receiver is, I mean, the Cheetah's even looking at him going, I don't want to run against him. Can you imagine this guy on the field? Everybody can sit there and go, well, can he put it to the field? Who cares? The minute he steps on the field now, knowing what he did in the combine, you're scared. Like, the defenses are already trying to figure out a scheme to stop him just because of what he did in the combine. You're looking at, like, what some of these guys did in the long jump and in the vertical jump. You're just going, I've never seen a class like this. So I think teams are starting to say there's a lot more out there. And I think they're letting guys go thinking they can grab this. Now, whether all of this actually translates to talent and to field of play, totally different circumstance. In the case of Xavier Worthy, he already made his statement. He just steps on the field and everybody's going to be like, oh, crap. I don't know what to do with this. Like, when you got somebody that fast, he's made his statement. Wherever he goes, it's going to be great. I don't care if the guy gets the ball. Like, at this point, just having somebody that fast, you've already done your job. But everything else, there's just so much out there that I think teams are kind of like, I can find somebody else, and I can find them cheaper. And think about the rookie paycheck. It's next to nothing. I'm going to let some of these veterans go. Is it fair? I don't know, but it's a business.
Yeah. As we wind this thing down into the 4 minutes and change, I know next week this show will have to either be an early version, or we probably will be moving it to Friday that week. So stay tuned. We just want to keep you guys posted. Everything else will stay the same. It's just this show due to travel plans.
I'm traveling. Sorry about that.
We're trying to make everybody happy here across the board. So it will be next week. We're just trying to figure out the time, and we'll keep you posted on it. Danielle, as we wind this thing down, and free agency will begin next week big time, so we'll find out the Cousins and all these guys. Is there any, you know, and you can elaborate on it for about a minute as we start to close it. What are you looking for? Is there any team that's going to open up the gold bags? We've talked about the Falcons, maybe with Cousins, and your team making Fields maybe over there. But is there another team we got to look out for that's going to open up the wagon train here? Because I think there's a culture problem in Dallas.
There's a complete culture problem in Dallas. We can get into that next week. But yes, there's definitely a culture problem in Dallas. I think look for the Raiders to make move on draft day. I think the Raiders are somebody to watch. I think they will make some moves to get up for a quarterback. I do not believe they're going to stay at 13. I think Pierce is really looking to grab a quarterback and make some major changes. So I would look for really draft day for me, for the Raiders to be the spoiler. I believe they're the team to watch. I think the Patriots, they could trade down if they don't take a wide receiver. I'm not sure what they're really going to do. Don't be surprised if they make a play for Cousins. They could kind of be the dark horse and spoil this Falcon-Cousins reunion. But the only thing I do want to mention, because we didn't get a chance to mention this, Mark, is we did lose ESPN NFL reporter Chris Mortensen. He died on
Twitter. Yeah.
And anybody who knows him. He was probably, from an ESPN standpoint, one of the most well-respected, ethical reporters from the NFL. And he was, like I said, very well-respected. He mentored a lot of journalists. But unfortunately, he did pass away. So I just want to mention that because, you know, like I said, from an NFL standpoint, that man was so on with his stuff. He never spread a rumor. He was really good about that. And he passed that on to just about all the ESPN reporters that were there. Some of them took it and some of them didn't, Adam. But he was very, very good about that, and he was very well-liked and well-respected throughout the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt about it when you see that, you know. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. I know you're going to show starting at the top of the hour.
I will be at the top of the hour at 8 p.m. with Chelsea for A Novel Beginning, but everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. And like I said, next week, if you're in the Richmond area, I will be at GalaxyCon Richmond, March 15th through the 17th. I will be appearing all weekend there, so you can come see me. I'll be at the pop-up bookshop booth, and stop by, say hello.
Yeah, and you can get me all over the place, XM Sirius, WWDB with Danielle in April, and across this blog, talkradio.com. /Mancini sports platform with media Mancini pushing it through. For Danielle Orsino in Charlotte, North Carolina, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week with time to be determined on what day, Wednesday early morning or Friday early morning. So just play with us next week and then back to regular schedule the following week. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcast powered now, like I said, by Mancini Media. Have a good one, guys. Thanks for tuning in.